is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Brandon. I love Hallmark, Mr. Hees.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Hallmark mysteries.
I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark mysteries. And this
is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
I started off with a lot of confidence that this was the Deck the Hallmark podcast, but then I heard the questioning in your voice.
Yeah, well,
and it made me second guess. It
created like an inquisitive snowball, which I did see live, and they were underwhelming, in all honesty.
I didn't think so.
You didn't think so.
Well, but granted,
dude, kazoos get old after the third song.
Well, I was going to say, I actually left after the first song. Something came up.
That's what,
Skittle accident.
Why'd you leave so quick?
Skittle accident.
Skittle accident.
Interesting.
Saw them live.
Was it a situation where there were no grape Skittles?
Will you quit joking?
Okay.
Don't joke about that day. They already did the thing with the lime and
so tell me, Skittle accident was a playing across the street across from Inquisitive street. Snowball.
Yep.
Man, talk about competing concerts.
I know.
Dude.
And you bought tickets to both shows?
Which side got the rights to the bubble rave? Because you know that they both do bubble raves and they have a contract that they can only do one on the street.
Yeah, Omaxies.
Which band?
Oh, Left Side. Skittles.
Skittles. Yeah, they
got it. Sorry.
So that Skittle, made that push over accident. The edge.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, well, and I didn't know. So
you,
I was there. I kept waiting for the bubbles.
Inquisitive Snowball.
But like, I kept waiting for the bubbles.
Where are the bubbles at?
Luckily.
You went across the street. You had tickets to both.
To both.
Man, that's impressive.
Whenever there's a situation like that, I always get them for both just for the sake of the bubble.
Dude, what was the knock on the door they put on the grapes ticket?
Yeah, it was this.
Wow. That's a classic. If you forget that last one too, that ticket is null and void.
That's unbelievable. They get it to you though. They figure it out.
Yeah.
You have to know Morse.
Yeah.
To get
it's important
to O'Halley's or whatever
the name it was. For sure.
Guys, how about that interview yesterday?
How about that, dude? That was especially a treat for you.
Yeah,
you were just.
Can I tell you this, Panda? You don't get. Yeah, I don't know if I've told you this, but. Almost to the name. Every time we talk to somebody, the first thing they say is, "Where's Panda?"
Yeah, that's fair.
It could be the empty chair in the middle.
It could be
in your honor.
That's true. A lot of times I would love to get away, but I can't get away.
Want to get away?
Can't.
We're not going to say who that company's tagline is.
When you walk. No, I thought we were doing it. Sorry.
Southwest. What are you talking about?
I was just seeing if we'd do the When You Walk thing again together. Remember we did it at the same time and it was a big thing.
Why would we have done it just then?
I don't know. That was the whole point. We weren't going to say Southwest. Now we said it twice. Now they're getting free advertising, Brian.
It's not even worth it.
They know that you can't get it on the other apps. You only can go to southwest.com to get the cheapest fares around.
Right.
We gave it that away for free because
of
you not singing Della Reese with me.
Well, I think it's simple for me because I already had the Southwest app.
Oh, okay. That's the app.
So it wasn't a big deal for me.
It makes it so easy.
And you get those two free bags.
That's right. And yeah, you got to fight people with a shiv to not sit in the middle
seat.
Yeah,
sure. But that's not easy. It's kind of like, it's the Hunger Games of airlines.
Yeah, you can pay that extra fee to get in the line A, but at that point, you may as well go with a real airline.
Yeah.
So anyway, the app's great.
We're talking almost amore.
Mm.
Always amore. I keep saying almost.
It's almost love.
I'll be honest. I thought this was almost amore, and I actually titled something the Tyler Hines interview. I said talks about almost amore, thinking that was the name of the movie. And someone was like, "Bray, you're so funny calling it almost amore." And that's when I realized that it wasn't. It's always amore.
It's one of those movies where he almost finds love but never does.
He actually never does.
It's a classic.
It's
so good.
Almost amore. Are you guys ready to dive into it?
Oh, please.
It originally aired on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries on April 3rd, and it went a little something like this. We meet Elizabeth, who is running her family's restaurant that her husband started. They're celebrating grandma's birthday. She makes a joke about how she's 17. We laugh. We think it's great. We then meet Ben, who goes to a Chinese restaurant in China and tells them how to noodle. No problems there. Elizabeth's husband passed away a while back. We never meet him, so it happened sometime between now and then. And the restaurant is struggling, so her team hires Ben to come and fix it. He gets into town, and Elizabeth and Ben bump into each other and bond over chocolate and ukuleles. And who wouldn't? Those two crazy combos. But when she finds out who he is, she's not thrilled. You're going to try to change everything? No, sir. He immediately starts pointing out things like, maybe don't import your tomatoes. Maybe don't play a poker game for your oil. Things like that. They don't like that at all. This is the way we do things, and so shove off. But the more he's around, the more they're like, well, he's kind of cool. And the more he's around them, he's like, they're pretty neat. And he keeps wanting to change the menu, but they're like, oh, silly Ben. We would never do such a thing because Elizabeth's husband was the chef. He changed everyone's life. He could do magic tricks and stuff. I don't actually know that part, but that would make a lot of sense because everyone freaking loves this guy. So suddenly Ben goes over to dinner at her house with her entire staff. They, on the off days, they all hang out as you do
Monday.
With your staff.
Monday,
it's a Monday off day hangout time.
Yeah.
And she makes dessert and everybody's like, what? You made this? Are you kidding me right now? You could do stuff? This is crazy. And then the new chef made some food, some pan salmon.
Pan baked roasted salmon.
Roasted salmon to fried.
It's all very good. Seared. But when Ben says, you should put this sucker on the menu, he's like, no, I can't do that. We get bad news. Man, that guy, one guy, what's his name? Robert? He's always coming in with bad news. And the news keeps getting worse. There's somebody who wants to buy the restaurant sooner than later.
They moved their offer up.
They said, we are going to move this offer up.
Wow.
And there's nothing you could do about that.
That's tough.
And Robert's like, we got to take that a deal because they're moving it up.
Yeah.
We don't want them to take it away. So now she's like, what do we do? Well, maybe we should try to get a loan. Their bank is like, over our dead body, you're going to have to create some buzz if you want a loan. You know the rules here at Buzz Bank. So she's like, well, how the frick am I supposed to get buzz? I can't just pull out buzz out of thin air. Luckily, there's a competition coming up. And so Ben goes to talk to the chef, kind of gives him a little nudge, and is like, you should make some new food. She then goes over to Elizabeth and is like, Elizabeth, I think maybe it's time that we try some new foods. I think Chef is on board. And she's like, okay, maybe we should do this. So they decide to create a new dish for the competition. She's going to make dessert, and hopefully they win. They don't. And that's okay, though, because Twitter likes them. And there's an article about how great this is. And you guys remember that buzz I was talking about?
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
This is it.
The big buzz. The bank is aware of the buzz, and they are down to clown. Crisis averted. Except now it's all done. They don't need Ben anymore. And then Ben overhears her saying that they don't need Ben anymore. And he's like, guess they don't need me anymore. Guess she doesn't need me anymore. So he leaves. No, he doesn't. He goes to listen to a girl play ukulele by a fountain at night in the cold. No problems here.
We've all been there.
She goes try to find him, can't find him. Luckily, she has a bright idea to go try to find a ukulele player by the fountain in the cold. And so they bump into each other, and he talks about how he lost his fiance. She died as well, so he knows what she's going through, and that he thinks maybe he is ready to try now. And so he is going to stick around, and they do kiss. And the restaurant is saved, and everybody's happy, and the truffles are back. And that, my friends, was Always Amore.
We did it.
Yep, we did it, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with the Wait What's and the What the Hallmarks and all that good stuff here on Dag the Hallmark.
Boy, oh boy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
It's always amore. Nailed it, pal.
Thanks.
Panda, really stuff. Let's start with you after that, because I don't know how we could not.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna you did not hear the Nona in this movie, a ghost. She's so dead. I want you to know that on the front end.
That checks
you
out.
Too far down the line.
Wow, that is shocking.
Well, you knew that, though.
Yeah. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. And by the way, if she's listening, that's a joke from yesterday's episode. You're very clearly alive. You look great.
Yes.
But don't want her listening to this episode.
Patty McCormick needs to listen to our podcast to determine if she did a good job.
Patty, you look wonderful. That's a joke at Panda's expense. Sorry.
It was a good one, too. Thanks, boys.
Let's do this. Let's start with the hot take. Let's start with you, Panda. Panda, take us into the hot take fountain and let us kind of swim around a little
bit. Let's take a little bath in here. This movie's a real snoozer to me, guys.
That's a bore, you would
That's
say?
That's a bore.
You said it. I mean, like, wait for my hot take because I want to surprise you.
It's a shame too because Tyler and Autumn are in theory big hitters in this one, and Tyler seems just kind of bored with the source material. The plot itself is kind of a boring plot, if I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know if this isn't on Tyler or Autumn. I just think it's just kind of a dull plot, and I don't know if there's a lot to do with it. I mean, we spend a lot of time looking for truffles and having people continually say, I don't want to change the food, even though their business is clearly going out of business, they're having trouble, and then, no, we got to stick with the recipes. I'm not saying there aren't some good things in this movie. I think dealing with grief and loss and not wanting to change and honoring people's legacy, and then Tyler at the very end, I think, gives a pretty good performance when he's at when he shares that his fiance dies. But even then, that's too little too late. This movie is just very slow. It takes a long time to get going, and there just didn't seem like there was a lot of chemistry, honestly, between Tyler and Autumn. That's where I'm at. Kind of a disappointing movie. It's not the worst of the year, but it's kind of a snoozer. It just kind of is. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm at.
Heinies.
All right, Brian.
Just Heinies, just chill. You know in your heart of hearts that I am a Harney and a Heine. And I love you. And I love Tyler. And I love Autumn. And I don't like this movie. For all the reasons Panda said. Unfortunately, listen, it's so tough because on a Hallmark Channel a night prior, you had a movie that felt fresh and it was fun. And there were sparks, and they were doing a new thing. And then the next night, we're all just geared up, ready to go, ready for something to happen, and nothing happened.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. We went back to old Hallmark, and it's not a place I want to be at. Like, once you get, man, new Hallmark's like cocaine, allegedly. like once you try it, like, it's tough to go back to just sugar.
Allegedly. Yep.
It's tough, like, you know, it's like when you're a kid.
So when you tried cocaine, you switched it out for, you switched sugar out.
No. When I was a kid, I would snort Pixie sticks.
Okay.
I think we all did that.
No.
No?
No, we did not.
It
was a public school thing then. And, but then, allegedly again. So what I'm trying to get at here is, it's tough. It's tough. And there's just not a lot. There's just not anything original about this movie. I think the only wouldn't have flown back in old Hallmark was Tyler's fountain scene. Felt, you know, like a little too serious, a little too sad for old Hallmark. Aside from that, this is as old Hallmark as it gets. I was bored and I'm sorry. And maybe the fact that it played the night after the best movie of the year that's tough. That's tough to follow up. But even without that, I think I still would have been, you know, not my favorite movie. And I'm sorry, Heinies. Just love you. I'll see you next time.
It's a bore. It's also a chore. It's anything other than a more. This is a bad movie, guys. I don't know what else to tell you. This feels like a movie that was on the scrap heap of Bill Abbott Hallmark. It feels like a movie that they probably had ready to go and in the can, the script ready to go in like 2015. And they kept going, we've already got this movie this year. Let's wait till next year. And then it disappeared and somebody rustled it up and went, let's try to make it work with two big leads and act like it's actually a good movie. You just can't hide bad behind Tyler Hines appearing on screen. Yep. You can't do it. It is not a charismatic performance by him. I think it's understated in the worst way, and I love that guy. Unexpected Christmas is the best performance, male performance I've seen on the network. The guy is an incredibly talented actor that does a lot to make his character stand out. This movie's a snoozer. It's not good. Everything both those guys said is accurate. It felt like a movie they needed to make to get rid of old contracts. That's what it felt like. It was unfortunate. It was DOA, and I couldn't wait for it to end. Bad movie. Bad. Not a good movie. Give me, you ready for this? This is my least favorite Tyler Hines. Give me the fall movie.
Roadhouse.
Roadhouse Romance. Have you
Kelly Pickler movie?
Yo, boy. But you got no. Chris Russell.
Give me a Kelly Pickler movie all day over this. I love that movie.
I think maybe.
Boy, that's bonkers if you're saying that, man.
I
don't know if I'm there, man.
Kelly I don't Pickler's know. She dumb. Ruins it. She ruins. It's this or that one. This or Mistletoe Secret. One of those two, for sure.
I don't know why you waste like this pairing with this movie. Like, why?
It's tough, man.
Why throw Tyler
it's
into
tough.
This?
It's tough. This, and I could, I, this, please don't, no one get mad at me. This doesn't feel like it's anyone's passion. Like, no one, none of the actors in this movie, I'm sure someone who wrote this movie or is behind the scenes is passionate about this. But the people in front of the camera, it doesn't feel like it's anyone's passion.
I can't go down the Pickler road with you guys. Like I'm on the fence.
I'm gonna be clear, I'm on the fence. Because that movie, if anybody else but Pickler, is a great movie. Like for Hallmark, it's a really solid movie. Because you got Chris Russell playing the D-bag over there who's trying to rob it. Patrick Duffy giving great. But then Pickler shows up, and as soon as she utters a word, it's just like
murderer. I have this in the same camp as Roadhouse Romance. I think Roadhouse Romance is better. And it comes down to, I don't know the female lead in that. I can't remember her name.
Alana.
I thought she was Lauren charming. Elena. She was really charming. But yeah.
No, give me Roadhouse Romance over this. This is not a good movie. It's a bad movie, and it was boring. It made the cardinal sin of not being bad enough to be funny. It was boring.
Yeah.
And that was unfortunate.
Yeah. All I'll say is like I love the Heine community, and I can't imagine this being any Heine's favorite Heinz movie.
No, and right? They'll love it because they're loyal to Tyler Heinz, and that's fine.
That's great. But it's no one's favorite. I think that's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, no. No one left this being like, man, this is it. This
Give
is
me this over. It was always standard. You.
I just
no. Let's get to all the feels. Any feels, Panda?
Hold on.
Okay, I'll hold.
Listen, the tabs aren't going to close themselves, pal.
Yeah. Man, I was hoping my notes would bail me out on this one, but the notes don't have a feel on here. The kiss was really good. I thought the kiss was real solid. I guess when he announces that his fiance died, that's a pretty that's a strong feel. And then
he actually wrote about that on social media, and he wrote about how kind of the backstory behind that scene in particular, and his thought process going into it. It's a good read.
I thought that was solid. I think her stuff about her husband trying to honor the legacy, I don't mind any of that. I thought there's some good family feels here overall. Yeah.
Good family feels. Good.
All right.
I got food feels, y'all. There's some yummy looking foods in here. They don't always do that in the movies. That's true. They don't always have good looking food.
And that may be what Giada De Laurentiis at, like, apparently this is a passion project. I've already hearing of Giada, which great.
Who's that? Great.
She's a very famous,
phenomenal cook.
On-air TV personality chef, Italian. She's wonderful. And the food looks better than any food in Hallmark. I will say that. Yeah. The food looks legit. It does.
And you know what? Tyler said that he wanted this movie to be a dedication to the food service industry right now. And so hopefully looking at the Italian food made somebody go, you know what? I want to go get some Italian. I don't know.
I do want Italian after seeing that.
I always want Italian food.
I don't.
Oh, I'm
not. Italian's
Italian
not my favorite, but I'm here for it.
There you go. It worked, everybody.
I go to the best Italian restaurant whenever I can.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
Took her to the garden where I guess they grow the olives.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with the wait, what, and what the...
I didn't have any feels. Don't worry, Brian.
I wasn't concerned. Here on Deck the Hallmark.
Oh my goodness.
Just stop Chase, it. Just... Come on. You can't do that.
My bad. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. How about you, Trace?
Don't you wish?
That's so true.
That's true. We do wish.
That's weird.
That's accurate. Hey, guys, let's get to the wait what. This is the part of the show we talk about one of the movies made us go wait what. I'll start with you, Panda.
I just want to point out the movie starts with Tyler Hines going to Hong Kong to fix a noodle restaurant.
That's right.
An Asian noodle restaurant. That's unbelievable.
They
to me.
Would rather die. The people running that restaurant would rather die than have white Tyler Hines
fly be like, this over is how you fix your noodles.
And tell them how to get their stuff together. They would just rather die.
I'm sure.
That's one of the dumbest things. Literally could be anywhere. Do any food that he may be familiar with. Let's go into downtown Hong Kong and have him fix a noodle joint. No. No.
Not great.
Not great.
Not good grief. The optics aren't great on that. Why the chef, Antonio, I think is his name.
Antonio.
He's a fascinating character to me. But one of the things that is maddening is multiple times throughout this entire movie, he will go and buy ingredients, use the store's ingredients or the actual shops. Now, they're struggling. They're about to go under.
Go under.
And he is cooking a significant amount of food. I want to be clear, significant portions. And then cooks it as like, yeah. And they go, this should be listed. This should needs to be on the menu. You'd be like, nah, I'm not going to do it. Then stop cooking with their supplies. Stop it. This is probably why they're about to go under. Antonio, at one point,
you're funny.
Thanks.
You're funny, boy.
They mentioned these truffles that are, which somebody else could pick up the truffle debacle. I guess we can mention it now. He uses the truffles once for one meal, and then it's like, hey, we're out of truffles. I hope you. And they're like, this is great. Can you make it again? He's like, nope, here's the truffles for this. Like, what? I don't understand. But then.
Guys, I've got good news. I have made the best meal I've ever made.
Can you get it again?
I can't. Here's the thing.
What?
The truffles, I got no more of those in existence.
Could we save the restaurant? Yeah, but what's better than a friendship meal?
That's right. Friendship.
Best food for my best friends.
Using supplies for our company.
It's going down anyway.
Might as well cook it all up. But then what gets even more ridiculous is Tyler Hines says, they find out that these truffles can exist in the same region as Italy over in Washington. So he says, well, this is great. We could get these truffles at like a tenth of the price. The next scene cuts to them hunting for truffles out in the woods.
It's a
for free.
It's a truffle farm. You got to charge. They charge admission to the truffle farm.
If you can find a truffle,
you can keep the truffle.
But you got
to carry.
It's made you carry. Like what? That is not even a tenth of the cost. It's free.
Yeah.
It costs you gas.
That's it.
Ridiculous.
That's it.
Truffle hunt. Mm. Love a good truffle hunt. And then I'll stop there.
I have a couple. So they go to, he's like, we should make a wish in the fountain with the coin, which is a fine thing to do if that's what you want to do. But her reasoning for not wanting to do it is because you can't just wish for things to change in the past That's not what you do with the fountain wish.
Not a fountain wish situation.
The fountain wish is for something like, I want this. It's
you just have to go back in time.
She's like, I'm not going to do this because this is unrealistic. Okay. All right, fountain freak. I don't know. Guys, I can't make heads or tails of this offer being moved up.
Yeah.
So
got moved up, Brain.
There's a restaurant or something. Somebody out there wants the space.
That's right.
And Robert over there, who I guess owns, I don't know. Somebody made an offer and they were going to have a few months to turn the restaurant around or he was going to accept their offer. And whoever this person who made the offer was like, we're actually going to move the offer up.
Moved it up. They moved it right on up. That's what they did.
What does that mean? We moved it up.
They moved it up, like, Bran.
Is it we're just, it's you know
been,
what?
It's been moved up.
I mean, they cleared the schedules.
I now declare that my offer will henceforth begin in 3 weeks, no later. I don't know what it means.
By decree, we've moved the offer
up. We've moved it up.
Moved it up.
I don't know what that means, but apparently it has serious ramifications.
Serious.
Well, they weren't going to take it before.
They weren't going to take it.
Maybe, maybe they were like, we might offer in 6 months. And then all of a sudden they come up sooner and they go, hey, we're actually willing to make an offer right now.
Okay. I'll take that. Thank you, Panda.
So then the weird part is, why did they make an offer in 6 months? Hey, see if this fledgling business can make it. If not, we'll swoop in. That sounds just dastardly then, right?
Yeah.
But that's the restaurant industry for you.
That's restaurant industry for you. Yeah, it is.
That's that's big meatballs for you.
Big meatballs.
Tyler at one point goes, gets coffee. They ask him for his name. He apparently said Cuppy. There's this whole back and forth about how she wouldn't have said Cuppy.
She just said
she would have said Steve.
I don't
know what they're doing there. Either why? Why do any of the names you chose? Tyler has glitter on his shirt at one point.
It's in the shirt.
It's in the shirt.
What does it mean?
Dude, you're really hung up on that.
Have you ever
seen? Yes.
You've seen a built-in glitter shirt?
Yeah, my daughter literally has one. It's not far-fetched for a guy to rock one.
It's a sparkly shirt.
Sparkle shirt.
Yeah. All right. I said it to you in the movie.
I understand that it's built in, but why? I've never seen this before.
Why wouldn't you want to wear a sparkle shirt?
Right.
Because people might be wondering, why does he have glitter on his shirt like I did? I don't want to cause people confusion during the day.
More than fair.
I don't want them to be wondering all day. I wonder what happened to him. Did he fall into glitter? Did a box fall on him? I don't want that to be anybody's day.
He went to Hobby Lobby.
That happens sometimes.
It does.
We've all been there.
We've all been there.
My wife used to sneeze glitter whenever she worked at Hobby Lobby.
Really?
Like glitter was in her nostrils?
Yeah. From working in the Christmas department.
Boy, I don't know how to feel about that.
She would come home and she sneezed and all of a sudden glitter just shot everywhere. Sheesh. It was wild. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my
life. That's
crazy. It was pretty weird.
They're at this competition and the guy who ends up winning the competition is done, I don't know how early, but very early. And somehow his cold dish wins.
That's right.
I can't make heads or tails of this.
Cold dish.
This guy made a dish and he's done before they even put it on the stove, before they even put it on the hot plate. He won. Tom Jones came in at the end, and then
they couldn't fully.
What was that?
It sounded like
If that's not unusual, if that's not if it's not that song, how?
Yeah.
Who at the end of the movie was like, you know what we could use? A song that sounds really freaking close to Tom Jones. It's not unusual. Just enough to where they start singing. But then at the very end of the movie, before it fades to black, they'll realize it's not Tom Jones. It's a big joke.
If a bad taste wasn't in their mouth before, it will be. I promise.
Who did this? Whose idea was this?
Sheesh.
Dan?
This movie has one of the dumbest plot points that a movie can hinge on, which is the bank will only lend this restaurant more money if they get the buzz back. If a restaurant gets buzz, you know, buzz, then the bank will loan them more money based upon the buzz. If you can find a way to recapture that buzz, we'll know it. We'll be able to measure that buzz, and we'll give you buzz money. That's what will happen. Every morning we start our day with, hey, how's the restaurant buzz scale? It's a 2 today, Donnie. Oh, no more money. But if you get that sucker up to a 7 or 8, here's some cash, baby.
Yep.
That buzz is real, not fickle at all. We need buzz. Are we looking at numbers? Are we crunching interest rates or what the Fed's doing, or, you know, doing anything about how much that property's worth or how long you've been there? Nah, give me that buzz. Give me that sweet, sweet buzz. That's all I need, and I'll give you some of my bank money. Buzz. Buzz, 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 buzz. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Be better, Hallmark.
Can I have a loan? Well, it depends.
How's your buzz?
Tell me about how popular you are in the buzz department.
How's your hashtag?
They only have 60 Instagram followers. They'll never make it.
No buzz. Won't pass the buzzometer.
Thanks, Charlie.
I'm going to call 911 for you. Don't worry. Anyway, early in the movie, they meet at the chocolate or tasting or whatever, and then she sees him looking at his phone and looking lost. She comes over to help, and he says, I've got a special talent for starting out going the wrong direction using this walking app. Now, first of all, that doesn't mean you're lost. It means you walked the wrong direction, so you shouldn't be frozen. You should be turned around. Second of all, it's not a 50-50 shot when you're walking places in Google Maps. There are all kinds of landmarks and a blue line to show you which direction to go. It's not like you start walking and go, is it left or right? I'm going to go left. And then they'll tell me if I'm right or not. No, that's not something that happens with any able-bodied, halfway intelligent adult. That's not how those apps work. Am I wrong there?
Well, if I'll remind you, New York.
In Brooklyn, you got a straight lost.
Was I think you lost. Yeah, it was the walking app. Because you get out from underground, and then it's a little discombobulated. But so you just have to kind of pick your poison at that point. Do you go?
It's a little discombobulated.
Yeah.
It gets a little hinky.
All right. Yeah, it gets a little wanky.
Whatever you say. Well, anyway, she goes to visit the olive oil mob. What did you say?
No.
Okay.
No.
She goes to visit the olive oil mob. And the olive oil mob are all wearing not really mafia suits, but suits meant to look like the mafia. And then she plays a game to negotiate her price. They go through this whole rigmarole. And then he says, I'll see you next month. Does she have to negotiate a different price for the olive oil every month?
Yes.
That's absurd. No wonder you're losing money.
I think that was what Ben was trying to make his point. I think that was the point.
Yeah, but here's the thing is if you're going under and you're negotiating a different price for olive oil and your restaurant can't get any money from the bank because you don't have any buzz.
You don't have any buzz.
May I suggest that you and your daughter sell the mansion of a house you live in by yourself? That thing's 10,000 square feet if it's a nickel. I don't know how they're living in that house by themselves. It's absurdly large.
Sorry, what was
large.
The saying you just said?
It's 10,000 square feet if it's a nickel.
What does that mean?
If it's five square feet, it's 10,000 square feet.
But why would it be called?
Why would it be a nickel?
I just said it. It's not a saying. I just said it.
You just came up with that?
Yes. I did not use a saying. I'm just talking.
Say it again.
That thing's 10,000 square feet if it's a nickel. I just said it.
Dude, that's wild.
It's not a saying. It's just me talking.
Man, I can't make heads or tails of that.
It's a nickel.
That's 6.5.
So you just sell that house maybe and you'll have a little bit more money or a lot more money because that house is worth, I don't know, way more than the restaurant. And even if you owe money on it, you still sell it and you use that money to support your restaurant. It's pretty straightforward. Tyler Hines, when it appears that their meal is going viral because a famous chef.
Well, they're getting buzz.
They're getting buzz.
They're getting big buzz.
He has to deliver this line, which is... That poor guy. God bless you, Tyler. He goes, it gets better. Look at the hashtags. I mean, we're 2022 going on 2008. I don't know how we did it.
But the headline, by the way, is something like
best Italian food ever.
Yes.
To which he says, it gets better.
Look at the hashtags.
Yep.
These hashtags are awesome.
Buzz.
at the end of the movie, the restaurant's doing well, and I don't know how, because they're setting all the desserts on top of the warmer line. Why are they doing that? They're going to melt or get warm. They're not going. They look like they're there for decoration. They're setting desserts on top of the warmer line. Not like they're actively doing it, like someone's going to take them. They're just all out there, just hanging out up there. And then lastly, I want to be very clear. Ben comes in and says, we got to cut this menu down like any Gordon Ramsay or Robert Irvine does. And then at the end of the movie, we find out that they've kept all of the classics and then added all. They've expanded the menu. I hope this buzz was worth a big loan, because they've expanded the menu. That's all I got.
Well, you should see these hashtags.
I mean, it gets better.
It gets better.
Look at these hashtags.
Wow.
Look at these hashtags. Every time I do it makes me buzz. Every time I do it gets me buzz.
You're funny.
Thanks.
It's time for What the Hallmark Inspires Show. We talk about the things that we still are wondering about. Panda, what's got your loins in a goid?
Oh, let me tell you.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah. What's wow. got your What's got your nickels in a square foot?
Yeah. At the end, Tyler and are having a really heartfelt conversation out by the ukulele girl. Yep. And then they kiss big ones. And then it cuts over, and the girl is still playing ukulele, just watching them playing it, like staring them down during the kiss. And I don't know what proper protocol is in a situation like that. I feel like that's a situation I would get stuck in, where I end up not meaning to, but end up watching people kiss big ones and I can't get out. And so I feel like,
I see trees of green.
She want to keep playing.
I guess I'll keep just going. Do they want ambient music, or do they want to be left alone?
I just don't know. I just don't know.
Thunder.
Cut my Sweet. Life into pieces. Nope, we're not doing it. Two in a row, Papa Roach.
Sweet home Alabama. I'll change the song.
I just think that the proper, I feel like the proper move there is to walk away, but I don't know.
It's hard to say. Yeah.
It's hard to say. So that's my, what the hallmark, do you think you should walk away in a situation like that? I don't know. I feel like you walk.
It's a weird spot to be in.
Yeah. So she walks into a restaurant. This is when she's about to find out that they moved. They are going to go ahead and move that up. The offer. They're going to move the offer up. Yeah. She walks into a restaurant. It's not open. Richard, Robert, the guy's there who I guess owns, I don't know his whole role, but he's there to deliver the news. And I don't know, one, how he got in, but there's a fire going in the fireplace. And my question is, who started the fire?
We didn't start.
We didn't start. I can tell you that.
She didn't. No. And so did Richard Robert just show up and was like, well, while I'm here,
might as well have a toasty.
I don't know. I don't know. Someone started that darn fire. That's all I want to know.
It.
Dan?
Yeah. So I didn't buy that these two were going to end up together until the kiss. The kiss was magical. Before that moment, he literally says that his fiance dies right before they end up together. And I just feel like this is maybe going a bit too soon here. Like, I just am worried that this relationship isn't really built to last. And what is he going to do for this? He said he's still going to keep doing his job, even though he's going to stay here. Like, I just had all kinds of questions about just the, how this was going to work out. Mm. And I know that that's kind of a punt, but that's all I really had. Just busy trying to stay awake.
Good punt. We did it, everybody. Congratulations. We're going to be back tomorrow with When Calls the Heart, and then we'll be back to Sign, Seal, Deliver next week. We'll take a week off from When Calls the Heart. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled program. Until then, I'll be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off. Whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.